thankful for another privilege for us to continue the meeting and another beautiful song service. The Lord's blessed us with His presence. The arrangements for this afternoon are for Elder David Montgomery from San Antonio, pastor at the Lavernia Primitive Baptist Church, to go first, followed by Elder Barry Brown, who's the pastor at the Abilene Primitive Baptist Church. We're so thankful to have them both here and pray that the Lord will bless them. As I was thinking about this afternoon service and the fact that we call it a service, it called me to remember the many times in the Word of God where worship and service are connected. A lot of reading in the Old Testament was a warning to Israel not to serve other gods. The predicate for that was when the children of Israel were under Egyptian bondage, when the Lord told Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh. Preceding each of those plagues that whereby God manifested His power, the request or the demand that was set before Pharaoh is, let my people go in the wilderness and serve me. That kind of culminates, at least in one way, in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And also take of your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Take that to the New Testament. Just a anchor verse here in the New Testament is when Jesus Christ, at the onset of his public ministry, when he was confronted with the devil, as you are confronted and we are confronted by the devil, in his conversations with the devil and the devil trying to discourage and dissuade him, it came to this moment in Matthew chapter 10, or Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And this afternoon we have the opportunity to serve him by worship, and worship him by service. You think about the children of Israel, they were servants, indentured servants, into the point that they were slaves under Pharaoh. And the Lord, when he set his desire upon them and liberated them from that service and liberated them from that captivity and that bondage, the thing that he was liberating them to, Brother Wren, was to serve him. Right? So, sometimes I think we can take and look at service as an obligation or a burden. We've been liberated that we might be able to serve God. And if we can look at it that way and say, to serve God is to liberty, it is to experience liberty, and there's liberty in serving God, what a sweet liberty we've been given to be called to serve Him and given this privilege this afternoon. So as you serve the Lord in our song service, we serve Him with our prayers. We serve Him when the gospel is preached with power and demonstration. Realize that's the liberty unto which we have been delivered. Even from the old Exodus story, it wasn't just getting out from under answering to Pharaoh. It was that we might answer to God. So as we enter into this service this afternoon, we want to pray for each one, that the Lord will especially bless you. A long time ago, I realized that the Lord is better at blessing than I am in expecting. And He's caught me unawares, times where it's just far more than I could have expected. And so Brother Michael, I've started expecting bigger. And lo and behold, the Lord's able to outdo even my increased expectations. So I pray this afternoon that these two are given the sweetest liberty they've ever had. And I think they'd be okay with that. Right? Well, you're happy with what you've preached before, but it'd be all right if this is the best you ever preached. Right? It'd be all right with each one of us if this was the very closest we felt to the Lord that we've ever felt. That'd be just fine. And so with that expectation, knowing that the Lord's able to do that, it would please Him for us to please Him in our service to Him. Let us pray to a big God who delivers in big ways. And certainly, we each need a miracle. These brethren need a miracle to preach the gospel this afternoon. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, Elder Bruce Crawford, will you lead us in prayer this afternoon?
Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, Father, we come before You this afternoon in as humble a way as we've ever learned or been taught. We hope and pray, Father, that we have come to seek Thy face and turn from our wicked ways, Father, because we live in a land that needs much healing. Father, we're thankful for the tremendous blessings that You have blessed us with this weekend here at Little Vine. We're thankful, Father, for each person who has come in a way of service and a way of worship to lift up their voices in prayer and singing, and especially the preaching of the gospel unto You. We especially pray this afternoon, Father, for these two men that are going to stand before us. We would ask, Father, that You would take and bless them to remember the things that they have studied. Bless them, Father, with a message that would be edifying to each one that's gathered here and to themselves as well. Father, we humbly beg that You would continue to bless each minister here when he stands before Thy people. Cause us all, Father, to be able to stand upon the walls and cry out Thy truth to Thy waiting people. We especially pray for this nation in which we live today. We'd ask, Father, a very special blessing upon our leaders. Whenever they gather themselves together to conduct the business of this country, Father, we would humbly beg that You would be one in their midst. Cause them, Father, to lift up their eyes to Thee and try and lead this country on a path that would lead back towards You instead of away from You. And Father, this afternoon as we gather, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. Realizing, Father, that help must come from You. We know no other, Father, to pray to. We know no other to ask. So, Father, we come before You in just the humblest way as we can and ask Thy very special blessing upon this little church as they continue to sojourn here in this world and worship You. Each family that's represented here, each church that's represented here, Father, would You continue to bless them in their debts and their endeavors to serve and to worship You. Go on now, Father, through the feathers of this service. Be with us, all of those that it's our duty to pray for, those we know about and those that we don't. And Father, this afternoon, the many things we fail through the weakness of the flesh and ask, we would humbly beg that You fail not and grant You. Forgive each of us, Father, where we have sinned and trespassed against You. And Father, when it comes our time to press that dying pillow, forsake us not, carry us to the better and upper kingdom, for the trials, troubles, and tribulations will be no more. Father, we realize these blessings are great, but we have gathered to worship a great and powerful God. And it's in the name of Thy darling Son, Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
And I think Brother Ricky talked about he was having some trouble with emotions. I'm the same way right now. We've had an interesting week. One of our youngest members in Lavernia was in the hospital all week. Brother Eric Housenfluke, it was pretty touch and go there for a minute. Had a severe infection that went septic. And we've been with him. One of the hardest things I had to talk to him. He said, I'm afraid of dying. I don't know if what I said did any good or not. I said, well, Barrett, dying is easy. Living is the hard part. But I understand what you're saying. But the Lord will be with you. And the Lord was. And he's home now, thankfully. Just Leslie had foot surgery last week. She's been on a scooter all week. The bad part about that is that I had to do all the cooking for the past 10 days. So, barely. I know the Lord will get us through things like that. There are some things, though, that catch up to you. That's surprising. I was at the meeting at Lamb Passes last weekend. Now here I am at Vernon, LV, Little Vine. It really made me miss my dad. Yeah. Being in our hometown,
yeah.
This is our old home church. Made me miss him. Right now, really, give anything to see him again. People say, well, Dave, you're looking a lot like Brother Monty. I wish I acted like him. But he's having a better meeting than we are right now. I am going to preach to myself this afternoon. If there's any good for you, then give God the credit. I want to turn in the word of the Lord to Psalm 84, begin reading in verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Amiable is an interesting word. It means extremely well deserving of love and affection. It's used mainly, except for this one occasion that I can tell, that I've tried to study out. When that word is used, it's usually referring to people loving one another. The only time that it's used, not in the case of a human being, is in this text. And it is talking about the church. We are to love the church as we love one another. We are to have a big love for the church. When Leslie and I married, we made a covenant of love to each other. I promised to her I will love you till the day I die. You are the only woman in the world to me. You are deserving of all my affections. And she pledged that love to me. We also pledged, but we also have affection for the Lord and for the church. So I love the Lord, I love the church, and I love Sister Leslie. And I believe it's a good thing for us to do, to have that heart toward the Lord's house. Okay. See, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. There it is. That's it. That's my text right there. Passing through the valley of Baca. Now, Baca is one of the most interesting words you'll ever read in the scriptures. For some reason, for years, I mistakenly thought Baca meant dry. We sing a song, the hymn tune is Baca, as the heart for water, for water, as thirst the heart for water broke, so thirst my soul for thee. So I thought, well, it must be a dry place, and we're thirsty. But that is not what it means. It means the valley of weeping. Have you ever been in the valley of weeping? You ever been through a time in your life where everything seems to go wrong? Into the point where that you weep and you wonder, is there going to be any way out of this? Life can become that way for a spell. If it lasts a minute, it's a minute too long. So never forget that we are, though merely passing through the valley of Baca, we also remember that we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Not death, but the shadow of death.
Right.
But we're passing through. We will get out. Now, sometimes, when we're going through the valley of Baca, and we're weeping, some calamities happen. Someone passed away. Someone's very sick. All kinds of problems. And we beseech the Lord, Lord, take these problems away. We ought not to pray that. We ought to pray that the Lord's will be done. Because the Lord may come back to us and say this: I'm not taking you out of the valley of Baca. I want you to dig a well. I want you to dig a well right there in this place. That's what David's saying. Your passage. This person he's talking about, referenced in verse 5, he said, now here's a blessed individual. Here's somebody that's got it going for them. Now, they don't have good business contacts. They're not high on the social register. But that person has put their strength in God and not in themselves or any other human being. And it says his heart is in the way of them. Now, they pass through the valley of Baca. What do? They dig a well. They don't complain. They dig a well. How do we dig a well in this valley? That's what I want to know. It says it's possible. But how do you do it? Well, that song we sing is taken directly, pretty much, from Psalm 42. Let me read it to you. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's going through the valley of Baca. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Here's how you dig a well. Hope thou in God. There it is. Hope thou in God. You say, I'm not digging a well. Well, you've got hope in your shovel. You got hope in your digging abilities. You got hope in your strategy and planning. Take that hope. It's in the wrong place. Put your hope in God. Hope thou in God. He says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his counsel. Now, remember when I told y'all that Baca is an interesting word? I'm going to show you how interesting this word is. It has a double meaning. And they don't seem to go together at all. It means weeping. It also means, are you ready? It's going to blow your mind. It means a mulberry tree. How? Oh, now, I've got my work cut out for me. I'm going to have to try to preach a sermon about weeping and mulberry tree. I have set myself up for failure. But guess what? We do that every time we get up here. Better hope thou in God. Better not trust in your own abilities. But you're trusting Him. You ever see a mulberry tree? Well, Google it. There's three types of mulberries. There's a red, a white, a black. The white mulberries are, they all produce a fruit. The white mulberries aren't really all that sweet. But they are the only food that a silkworm will eat. Just like a koala bear will only eat the leaves from a eucalyptus tree. So, a tree whose name also means weeping, who's synonymous with in a valley, in a depression of trouble, silk comes out of this tree that is beautiful, that was highly prized, especially back then in hot climates when they had no air conditioning. It was breathable. There's the red mulberry. Hey, makes pretty good jelly, I understand. There's the black one, which is the sweetest of them all. I'm going to try, by the scriptures, to get some meaning out of this. I'm going to go to an experience of King David found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. He is fighting, he has just been crowned king when the Philistines go out against them. And they camp out in a place called the Valley of Rephaim. Here's another valley. You know what that one means? The Valley of Giants. Doesn't sound like a good place. They had giants back then. Matter of fact, David fought a Philistine giant named Goliath. So it may be that the army that he is going to fight has giants in it, or they've got confederates in this valley that are going to help them. So David does the right thing. He goes to God in prayer. Always a good thing to do. There's never a bad time to pray. Sometimes it's you might need to make a very short prayer, like if you're sinking and drowning. Peter did not go into great detail about what he needed when he was sinking. Lord, save my parents. There you go. That's, sometimes you need that. David prayed, shall I go up? Yep, go up. He goes up, he fights them, they win. He beats them so bad, he changes the name of the valley. He changes it to Baal Perazim, which means the breaking. I broke them. Or God broke them. The next time, now I don't know how long, here they come again. Here come the Philistines. Same place. Valley of Rephaim. Does David really need to pray again? Yes. Well, but it's the same. It's the same people. It's the same place. Here's why we should pray without ceasing. Don't ever say I faced this before. Oh, you may have faced what you think this is before, but it's going to be maybe a little different. So he goes to the Lord in prayer. Shall I go up? You'll go up, but different battle strategy. What is this battle strategy that the Lord gives King David? Let's read it. Verse 22, the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. This is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up upon them over against the Baca," the mulberry trees. You're in the valley of giants. You're going to face this enemy. You're going to go behind them in a valley. You see, when I pictured this battle, I don't know why, but I pictured it this way. David was told, go up on a hill and there's a stand of mulberry trees. I don't know why. There's nothing in there that says that he went up on top of anything. It's every indication he's still in the valley. Okay, so you're going to fight a war in the valley. You're going to make a well. David got a good start on that well. Well, he got his half done. His well's already half done. He went to the Lord and prayed. God says, go up against them. Go fetch a compass. Go around them. Get behind them. And there's a stand of mulberry trees. And when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, he says, then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David won. Now, if David had not, what if David had gone against the Philistines before he heard the sound of the going? He would have lost. It's the sound of the wind going through the leaves of these trees. My question is this now. Why did God pick mulberry trees? Why not pecan trees? I like pecan trees. They're nice. Why not a hackberry tree? No. Why not a weasel tree? No, never. Why not an elm? Here's what I think. I started out this at Fredericksburg a long time ago. And I asked this question. I asked the brethren, we were eating lunch after church, and I asked the brethren, I said, I just wonder about certain things. Why did God pick mulberry trees? Why? I've never had an experience with mulberry trees. Never. Don't know a thing about it. And Jim Fox said, I've got something interesting to tell you about mulberry trees. I said, say on. He said, in my property, there's about three or four mulberry trees in a group together. And I can always tell when the wind is coming out of the west, because when the wind goes through those trees, they make a sound different than any other tree. I said, what's it sound like? He says, it sounds like the clapping of hands. I think there's a scripture that says, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. He says, if they went through any other tree, it sounds the same, except the mulberry tree. So here's how the Lord blesses us, my friends. Y'all listening? The Lord put these trees here so David heard a distinct sound and knew this is it. This is the time. Faith must play a role in this whole process. We hope in God. Amen. We did. God is able to deliver us out of all of the trouble. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's going to get you out of the valley of weeping. I guarantee. Or He's going to allow you to dig a well. And you know what? When you dig a well, you find water. And water is life. It sustains you. Because if you look at the valley that you may be in, look for something. Look for a flower. It's called the lily of the valley. That's a description of Jesus Christ. But if you see flowers in a valley, water must be there somewhere. And you dig. And you find it. You know, there's not much in the scriptures about Isaac. Abraham gets a lot of press. Jacob gets a lot of press. Isaac, yes, when he was young, but there's not much about when he was older. You know pretty much all it says about Isaac when he's older? He dug a lot of wells. And it says that when they found water, it said they rejoiced. Something we ought to be doing, friends.
Right.
Let's don't build altars of complaint. Let's don't get angry at God because we have reasons for complaint. Let us not say, look, I did everything in those scriptures in Psalms 84. I love the church. I went to church. I supported the church. Okay? Something we need to understand. Church is not calamity insurance. Church is calamity assurance. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Said the man who had the most tribulation of all. But be of good cheer. He's got every reason to tell us to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. If you're of good cheer, you're not going to do my favorite thing in the world to do, which is to gripe. I enjoy it. I am the best complainer and griper out there. I love griping. I get the reason I'm on Facebook is so I can gripe about this. And when the Lord pierces through my stupidity and my personality and all the quirks that are associated with it, and I get right, I like am paying attention, the complaining is gone, and I am of good cheer because I remember something. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome your worst problem, which is sin. I have overcome death, hell, and the grave. It's not going to be a problem. You're going to be with the Lord. My dad, my father, my mother is in with the Lord right now. I have a grandson that I've never met, died in his mother's womb. He's in glory right now. They're going to name him after me. Little Davy's up there, friend. I'm not trying to get your sympathy. This is what keeps me going. This is how I dig wells in the valley of Baca. And I have found water because God is true and faithful to His Word and to His promises. Now, I'm going to throw one more curveball at you. I'm going to go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17 and verse 6. And I want to read something that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. I'm going to need to begin in verse 1. Sorry. Luke 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast to sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. I don't see any grudges in there, do you? No, don't see it. I don't see any bad memories. I don't see any fish eyes looking at them. I see forgiveness. All right. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, then thou shalt forgive him. It's what the Lord said to do. We ought to do it. You see, we oftentimes want the person who offended us to apologize 7 times without us having to forgive them 7 times or 70 times 7. You owe me 490 apologies and then maybe I'll forgive you. No, forgiveness every time, every time, every time. And I'm preaching this to myself. So what was the apostle's response to this statement that the Lord made? It's an interesting response they had. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
Right.
You know, what I think they mean by that? Well, we can't do that. That's too hard. You're asking us something that we aren't equipped to do. So you're going to need to give us more faith so we can do what you just told us to do. The Lord is not going to give them more faith. Because he's saying, I told you to do it, so do it. Obey me. I'm giving you an order. Obey me. You don't need faith to obey me. Obey me and it'll work out for you. And then he says, and let me tell you, oh, you want your faith increased. Really? Right? Some of y'all ever think, oh, I need more faith. No, you don't. You've got all the faith you need. You get the perfect measure when you were born again. You learn how to use it better. You learn to rely on it better, but you never get more faith because when God gives it to you, he gives you just right enough.
Amen.
Well, I still want more faith. Oh, how much faith do you think you need? Let's see how much faith. Let's see how much faith we need. Verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. Do y'all know where I'm going now? What is a sycamine tree? You want to say it's a sycamore tree, don't you? And you would be wrong. No, I like sycamore trees. Didn't old boy climb up there on that sycamore tree to see Jesus? Maybe did. But he didn't say sycamore. He said sycamine. You see, that sycamore tree, what was it, Zacchaeus?
Yeah,
okay, Zacchaeus. He's just shorty. Little short guy?
Yeah.
Right.
That's us.
I wouldn't dare think about that, Mark. I love it. I wouldn't dare. Never dare. I'm the shortest one in my family. Don't take this personal, Mark, but I got to go with this a little bit more. Little shorty, little short guy. He climbed up that tree, so it had to have been that tall, right? I mean, just logical. But a sycamine tree, guess what? It's also known as a mulberry tree. This is our good old friend. This is the mulberry tree. There are mulberry trees that are 80 feet tall. Most of them grow 40 to 50 feet. That's taller than Brother Mark Richards. That's taller than a lot of Mark Richards stacked up. That's taller than a lot of Dave Montgomery stacked up. That's pretty tall. 50 feet, that's the average height of a mulberry tree. And the Lord said this, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. We got mustard at home. A little bitty thing. A little thing. Not much. It doesn't take much faith to get through life, my friends. Because why? Because it came from the Lord. You didn't go out and get it. He gave it to you. Add to your faith virtue. You don't add faith to faith. He gives to every man the measure of faith. He gave you your faith. It's yours. He gave it to you. It's a gift of God. You've got it within you. That's how you believe. That's how you love. That's how you pray. This is why you pray. This is why when Leslie and I No, it's when I was in the hospital. And before I left, we were having a good time. We're enjoying, you know, telling stories, eating Chick-fil-A, having a good time. And I said, you know, we need to leave, need to get home. And I said, I'm a preacher. I'm going to pray. Everybody bow your head. Went down to the bed. Put my hand on Brother Barry. I said, let's go to the Lord. We went to the Lord. Asked the Lord to heal him. Asked the Lord to give him blessing. To calm him. To bless the family. Bless the doctor and the nurse. Prayed a little bit more. Said, amen. Then I looked at Brother Barry and I said, we have done the best thing we can do. We can't do any better than what we have just done. And if we keep doing it, then we keep on doing the best thing that we've ever done. So, Elijah prayed 7 times. And he got what he wanted. Paul prayed 3 times. And he got an answer. Pray without ceasing. If you've got the faith to make one more prayer, then you can pray without ceasing. And whatever that is, that sycamore tree, that valley of weeping, here's how you get out of the valley of weeping. You've dug the well. You found water. You're able to sustain. Now Jesus said, now use your faith. Believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. Go to me. Pray. You pray. The Lord will give you the grace. I will pull up these trees from the roots. I will throw these trees into the ocean that you don't see them anymore. And where there are no mulberry trees, there's no baca. You're out of it. And we're praising the Lord. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. May the Lord bless you. This is my prayer. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I pray and trust that this has been a blessing to you. It has, and give God the glory, as we'll now eagerly pray for and look for Brother Barry to come preach for us.